This week on the Auto Trader podcast.
And basically what it's not, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's an actual R car, but it's a nod to this car. And what they've done is they've taken the electronic ink and put it on the new i5. And you see this car sort of change colors and patterns to mimic this original 1991 car. And it's fascinating. I don't know what they're going to do with the technology, but imagine changing the car, the color of your car at ease. I think it's going to go to that place now where, you know, you can kind of play around with.
Welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader podcast. And as you can see, we are away from home.
We're in heaven.
Yes, we are, actually. Welcome to the BMW Welcome Center, BMW's head offices. And I am joined here by two distinguished gentlemen here. We have the man who has accessed data in the matrix, Mr. Wandile Shishi.
That's me. Hello, everybody.
Even as the jacket from the Matrix.
Oh, you have to be in character wherever you go. You have to just always sort of channel your inner data, I always say.
The Zulu Matrix, yes. And then we have another distinguished gentleman here, Mr. Sean Nurse, motoring editor. He edits our articles while he's also racing this weekend as well. We don't know how he does it, but he just does. Just trust the smile on his face right now.
It's the suspiciously tight t-shirts I wear.
Where are you racing? Where's it this week?
It's in Cape Town. Penultimate round.
Nice.
I just need to win the first race and then I clinch the championship. And then this crippling anxiety can leave my body.
Okay.
And there we go. So, gentlemen, this is Heritage Month, right?
Yes, sir.
And the vehicle in the background is very befitting of this month. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very, very special vehicle. It's an E34-5 series. And as you can see from the livery on this vehicle, this was painted by the legendary Dr. Esther Mahlangu with the Ndebele pattern styles, pretty much. And yes, this is all hand-painted. This is not a wrap. And this was done about 32 years ago.
No, I think it was done in 1991, but I think the last time it was in South Africa was around that time, yeah.
And it's completely original. That's the thing. And beautiful work. Small details that artists will love and appreciate in that. And then also it's just been beautifully preserved as well. And it's all here at the BMW Welcome Center.
100%. One of the most iconic cars. I think last week we did the show where we were talking about iconic cars in like movies and shows.
Yeah.
But if we go a little bit further this month, it's so fitting that we have one of the most iconic cars that have ever come out of South Africa. And honestly, it feels like a dream to be in the presence of such a legendary vehicle.
It's a very prolific car indeed.
Yeah, and South Africa's got a great history of producing models that are specifically and proudly South African. BMW have got so many. There's other brands as well, Ford and VW. Mm-hmm. Had a great run.
BMW in South Africa has just had a great run, I think. It's such a part of our heritage. I know that sounds insane for a lot of people, but for anybody who's in the car culture, so many cars from BMW have become such a huge part of the culture. Mm-hmm. And this, even taking it further, looking into sort of the ethnic background of South Africa, a lot of people didn't even know about the Ndebele tribe, for instance, until this car sort of came around and showed people exactly what it's about, firstly. And then by doing the research, you find out how the Ndebele tribe sort of decorates their houses and stuff. So huge, huge, huge props to BMW and obviously Esther, Dr. Esther Mahlangu, for essentially putting us on the map.
And also just something really worth looking into as well, just from an artist's perspective and that. And now, yes, BMW has been around in South Africa since the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So long time, they've also just, you know, gotten into the culture of South Africa and everything in between. And let's also just chat about Heritage Day quickly. Now, a lot of people think Heritage Day is just, you know, let's whip out the braai stand and let's go toss a chop or two.
Yeah, that's not
it. And, you know, get the garlic bread ready while the ladies in the background are making a salad. But
maybe those are people.
It's a lot more than that. And it's also tying into the South African humor to some extent as well. And let's just keep it motoring for a second.
Yeah.
Like, as Sean has mentioned, that other brands have also come in and, you know, added their own flavor of South African heritage into them. So coming back to the BMW aspect, so we have the likes of the 325, for example, which was, you know, one of the prolific cars in the 80s and a cult classic car as well, you know, characterized by vehicle bouncing off a limiter and tires and everything in between as well, as we'd expect. And it got a legendary name.
The Gusheshe. You know what it is.
Exactly. You know what it is. Pretty
that
much.
Was that the 325 or was it specifically?
It's the IS. So you had the Evo 1 and then you had Evo 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then before that, you had the 333.
Yeah.
All locally developed cars. So that South Africans could have a taste of the E30 M3, which we didn't receive in South Africa. So
we eventually got, I think the new 3 Series actually got its own sort of nod to the original.
Yeah, 330 IS, a locally developed sort of model. Yeah. But yeah,
South African special right there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Didn't you drive that car? The original and the new one, or just the original?
Yes, I've driven. So I've driven the 333 and I've driven a 325 IS Evo 2.
Mm. Okay.
As part of, we drove it through Joburg and we actually went through Soweto. I had lunch in Soweto. It was very cool. I learned that Gusheshe means car of the gangster.
Yeah.
Just driving that car and thinking.
Just screams everywhere. Everyone's throwing themselves at you.
Yeah, no, everyone stares at you because it's a 333.
Boys,
you never see
girls, grandmas, dads.
But what I tried to do is put myself in the shoes of someone in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because it can be underwhelming at times to drive the 70s and 80s cars. We were discussing Countach before the episode started. Mm. But if you think how powerful and significant that car must have felt in the 80s, especially considering it was something built in South Africa, must have been something else. Exactly, yeah. That's why it's such an icon today.
True that.
Fully agree with that.
The car of the gangster. So let us know in the comments below, between the three of us, who looks more gangster. I don't know. We'll have a good look
at that.
It's
definitely you, Tay.
But moving
it's the rugby jersey.
It's the guy wearing a rugby jersey.
It's the hair.
And the hair, of course. Now, this isn't just the only art car that's been done. There's actually another recent one where there was a collaboration with Dr. Esther Matlangu with the i5 Flow art car, which it's not here at the moment, but it's something that's staying tuned for in the future as well. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. And I just want to talk about that because it's a really fascinating car. So I remember when it was announced, I think it was in like February or March this year. But what they've done with that car is really, really fascinating. I think it's the third iteration where BMW is playing around with this new technology called this electronic ink. And basically what it's not, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's an actual R car, but it's a nod to this car. And what they've done is they've taken the electronic ink and put it on the new i5. And you see this car sort of change colors and patterns to mimic this original 1991 car. And it's fast. I don't know what they're going to do with the technology, but imagine changing the car, the color of your car at ease. I think it's going to go to that place now where, you know, you can kind of play around with which car looks like.
It's like a video game. Almost.
It's like it's kind of like your Apple Watch, right? You can change the watch face, adjust the colors, and you can make it your own personalized thing. So if you feel like you want a yellow car Monday morning, you drive the yellow car.
Or if you're feeling a bit blue.
You change your car to blue, you know, to reflect your mood, which is quite cool. It's like an automotive chameleon.
100%. I think it's the future of car colors. I think it's going to be this thing where you can sort of, you know, plug and play.
Almost. Don't want to be a panel beater in that age, but...
You know? And you can find many more automotive chameleons on the Auto Trader website, along with a bunch of BMW models as well. Speaking of upcoming BMW models, the new X3, that is going to be at M-Fest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to have a few pre-production cars from what Haley from BMW told us this morning. They'll have a few of them at M-Fest. That's happening at the end of October at Kyalami Grand Prix Circuits.
You can get your tickets now.
Tickets online. South Africa's and probably Southern Hemisphere's biggest gathering of M, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So come over and check it out. We'll be there on the media day and we'll provide all the updates and then you can go check it out for yourself.
I go to every M-Fest and I'm always begging for a car and I always get rejected. So maybe this time, Haley, we
she's like,
behind the camera, like, no.
Don't even start.
keeping within the realm of BMW, let's move on to Mini Cooper in terms of heritage models. And Mini Cooper is also a brand that has gotten it right with South Africa's car culture as well, under the BMW umbrella.
Yeah.
2019, they collaborated with the local artist Baba Jeko, I don't know if I said that properly, please forgive me, to design the South African print model. It also touched a lot of South Africans' hearts. That also was a pretty significant model as well. There's been a few, actually, minis that have popped up.
That was a really interesting campaign they did. I think they did it on the radio, where they essentially asked like a bunch of South Africans, like, what is the modern African gentleman sort of look like? Like, who are they, essentially? And the resounding sort of answer was a person who lives in the Western world but remains truly African. And if you look at what the car looks like, the Clubman, it I think it captures that spirit so well. of the sort of modern take on a truly African distinguished gentleman like Sean.
African distinguished gentleman. There you go. The poster child.
The poster child of African distinguished gentlemen is definitely Sean.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's exactly that. I mean, it's a stunning car. I think they only made 20 of them. But I mean, another example of how brands can come together and really showcase the heritage of South Africa in such a refined and modern way and contemporary way, which, you know, sort of looks good and it's still truly African. It's really cool.
That first generation, or when I say first generation, I mean the BMW era of Mini, sort of 2000-2001, was called the R53. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That car really struck a chord, I think, with South Africans. It was my first car until I crashed it into a wall. And I've seen a
story
lot.
Story for another day.
Let's not go there. Still hurts, emotionally at least. But that first car, I think, really struck a chord with South Africans. You still see a lot of them on the road, and then it obviously progressed into what the Mini is today. But I think the brand has really been a hit with the South African audience. Mm. Was that affordable premium Mini BMW, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think it suits South Africa down to the T.
To the T, 100%. I agree with that.
Pretty much to that T. Then moving on to another brand that has shown some love to South African culture, the Ford Ranger. And Ford in 2019 decided that, you know what, let's take a Ranger.
Yeah.
Let's just paint it in the South African colors. And it also sponsored a Brayshaw as well, which is quite relatable and pretty apt in the South African context. So Buckies are just a huge part of South African car culture.
Massive.
Massive. Like, you can walk out here right now and you can spot how many Buckies in the space of, let's say, 10 seconds.
So
it's a huge thing.
I think for the last about 2 years, maybe 3 years even, I mean, the top sold used and new cars were Buckies, the Hilux and the Ranger.
Yeah, by a mile.
They just absolutely have captivated the South African audience in terms of, you know, we did a little bit of studies on exactly why. Why do people love Buckies so much? Yeah. And I think it's just, it's surrounded around the fact that they can just do everything. You could be your daily driver, it can be your vacation car, it can be everything.
A hit with the ladies, yes.
So I think that's one of the biggest reasons why they've done so well. But this is literally because of COVID, I think this is when people were strapped and they needed something that can do everything. And I think, you know, it's a South African answer to a South African problem was the Buckies that are selling so well.
And Ranger, I mean, I always say that the first generation Amarok was the Bucky that made Buckies lifestyle Buckies, but the Ranger is what, or should I say the T6 Ranger, which is the previous generation Ranger. That was the Bucky that really brought that SUV-like ride quality and lifestyle utility to the masses in terms of Buckies. So I also remember when they launched Raptor, the previous generation, they allowed the journos and a bunch of members of the public to sign a Raptor. So there was just a car that's just covered in signatures somewhere. In addition to the one that's obviously just the South African flag. So it's a Bucky culture in South Africa. It's huge. I mean, there's between D-Max, Hilux and Ranger, there's 6,000-7,000 new models joining the South African roads every month.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. And that's excluding Amarok and Navara and all the new Chinese Buckies that have come in. It's a huge segment for
South Africa. You make a Bucky like even more South African though? Like if you had to, like, don't say stance, Tay. Like I swear.
I don't know. Trim the interior in khaki, I guess.
Maybe that,
You could buy your Hilux in khaki now. So, I mean, they've gone about
they've
as,
done that,
they've gone as South African as possible, you know?
No, hold on. Sustainable khaki. Hold on.
Sustainable khaki. Maybe like a built-in Weibo or something that pops out of the load bed. I don't know.
That's the only way you can do it. I think, I mean, back to the Friday. I mean, that would be perfect.
Heritage edition.
A perfect segue.
Heritage edition Ranger. we're selling cars at this point.
Making the perfect segue, as we should probably trademark and copyright these ideas while we can. Toyota as well. I mean, Toyota, it's a bit needless to say also in that, look, they've been transporting fans, you know, Boca fans, soccer fans, fans of everything. And then, you know, just even just the normal family in South Africa. Like, it's also needless to say, I'll say. And even to the point where I remember going to a mate's house and then they had a bit of a habit of hanging up car badges just as an ornamental thing. And just I just see a huge Toyota Bucky badge and, you know, amongst other badges as well. And I'm like, it's really that prolific in people's minds.
People like it's
you
art.
Have to hang it out as an art piece. A chrome badge, which you know, it probably you might have picked it up off the side of the road or you might have gone to a dealership to buy it. I don't know. But it's also another interesting one that came up as well, I'll say. But apart from that, we have a whole lot of new brands entering the South African market also.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're also at that point where we sit there and we think, how are they going to interpret and embrace South African culture and that? Because let's be honest, South African heritage and culture, it's very diverse, very cosmopolitan.
Yeah, man. So 11 official languages. If you exclude sign language, it's called 12. So
I only know one.
It'll be very hard. I think you have a lot of options in order or other ways in which you can embrace the South African heritage. Mm. So I think it's important for these newcomers into the market to sort of look around and see what is a South African problem that we need to sort of address or spotlight or showcase to the world. So the options are there. I mean, there's many ways to do it. BMW's done a great job of doing it. Some of the other OEMs have done fantastic jobs of showcasing exactly how to embrace the South African public and win the hearts of the people.
I think up-and-coming Chinese brands that are coming into South Africa, they could definitely learn from the brands that are building cars in South Africa.
Mm. Yeah.
If you look at the likes of the BMWs, the VWs, the Toyotas, the Fords of the world, all of the products that they build here and they market to South Africa have got some unique South African twist to what they offer each buyer. So obviously, in the 80s, because we weren't getting vehicles delivered here, there was some innovation, which led us to these high-performance cars like a Superboss, an XR8 from Ford, and a variety of other icons that came out of the 80s. Alpha GT V6, the 3-liter, comes to mind. But I think in modern...
Rayno intensifies.
But in modern times, with the Buckies, you can see Ranger and Hilux, what South Africans are looking for is a competitive price point, something that appeals to both work and leisure, and then parts availability and a degree of reliability. And I think that comes from years of development and it comes from having a parts distribution network and being built here means that there's ubiquity of parts. So the Chinese brands, I think that they really want to get into the market, as Toyota and Ford have done in that light commercial segment, they're going to have to start building here or just have such a huge presence here that people can't deny that, you know, we can get parts, the cars are reliable, and it's going to take a lot of work because I think it took Toyota many years and Ford many years.
Decades. It takes a while to build trust. Africans are not the most trusting people. I think you have to do something quite...
We have
quite,
trust issues, yes.
You have to do something really, really great, like drop Sister Bettina or something. Yeah. And then maybe or Captain, and then we'll come behind you. But other than that, you have to really, really sort of do something special that really...
It's also worth mentioning as well that a lot of the cars that also came out as well, they were apt for the times as well.
Yeah.
You know, we're in different times right now. So then we sit there and we think, you know, what is applicable to people nowadays? You know, looking at it from a humorous side, it's like I remember someone in a suburb in Johannesburg North.
Benoni. I know.
Just throw Benoni under the bus. Why don't you?
Say less. You just say Joburg. I know it's Benoni. Everything happens in Benoni.
I'm so used to that by now.
Yeah, Sean's playground.
But you know, someone just complaining that the fact that Woolworths doesn't have avocados at that particular point, and they made just such a huge stink about it. And I sat there and like, this is very humorous, but also apt at the same time. But, you know, it's also a cultural point.
100%.
You know, at this time. But then, you know, how do you harness that? You know, there's creative people out in the market today. So, you know, come up with something interesting. And if people will rock with it, they'll rock with it.
I think there's a lot of, just staying on the idea of art for a second, there is a bunch of artists that are up and coming in South Africa,
which
a lot of brands are collaborating with. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more collaboration, more truly South African, well, probably South African sort of products coming out and being these specials that are not just one-offs, but like that the masses can sort of incorporate. I think this is the heart of the world is Africa. And South Africa, the cradle of humankind, is here. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of sort of brands and OEMs and car companies sort of coming together with a lot of the artists. Mm. So watch the space. I think it's just the beginning of the future, really.
I don't know if you guys saw the Nelson Makamo.
The 911.
The 911.
Oh, yes.
I was invited to that event, got to see the car up close and personal. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Like, and a great example.
And it's his car.
Yeah.
That he's now customized and Porsche did the whole project with him. That's really cool. So let's hope that he does.
You can see people want to, they want to sort of experience these products and be around the conversation. And that's exactly that. I mean, it brings not just sales for, you know, the product, but awareness, and it opens up these conversations, which are really important to have.
I agree.
So yeah, man, it's God love cars.
South Africans love cars. I mean, if you think about it, like we were just talking about M-Fest, like how many places do you know where they would just host a single brand, book out a racetrack and
thousands
have
of people,
thousands
just come
of people in, just pitch up. South Africans are petrol heads. They love their cars. And whenever there is a South African edition of something, there was a special edition of the Vivo, which was a proudly South African edition, as you were speaking about the 330iS a couple of years ago. When these special editions come out, South Africans seem to really like them.
It's an example of our heritage just being shown out to the world. And I think
it's heritage. And you see it on overseas publications like Speed Hunters. And I remember seeing this Nelson Makamo 911 on Speed Hunters and going, that's super cool. Because, I mean, that's a big international automotive publication and people think that that's really cool. So,
yes, sir.
Perfect. I think that is a perfect note which we can end on. And also just to say that, you know what, keep on arting, South African artists. You guys are doing our amazing stuff. Definitely
agree.
Now we have to sign off here, gentlemen.
Yes.
So thank you very much for watching, people, and also joining us on this very special episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. If you love this sort of thing, do not forget to like, share, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you do not miss another episode. Gentlemen, any sign off?
No, I'm just gonna go and explore BMW now, see what I can, you know, sort of see around here. But yeah, thank you to the BMW team as well for letting us come here and be in the presence of such an iconic car. It's been a blast.
Thank you very much.
It's been great. Thank you, BMW. And please, people, don't paint people's cars without permission. I know we've just said be artistic, but don't just pitch up at your neighbor's house and start painting their bonnet.
Or brying in their,
brying in the back of their double cap, please. So
do not bry in your neighbor's bry stand. That's the message. Thank you. Thank you very much, BMW.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, everyone, for watching. And please, take care.
Search Auto Trader.